My topic for my devotional today is the ups and downs of life. There are all kinds of ups and downs in life, physical, spiritual, emotional, and life in general. I was recently reading a passage from 1 Kings 19, where Elijah has just seen the power of God in the encounter with the prophets of Baal. From the utopia of that, he went truly down in the dumps and thought he would be better off dead. Hopefully our downs are not as desperate as that of Elijah. However, we can all have those moments of despair, but as Christians we know the love of God, that he will find a way to lift us up and send us on our way with renewed assurance. 1 Kings 19 verses 4 to 10 and verses 15 to 18. Verse 4. I have had enough, Lord. He was certainly suffering from low self-esteem. Have you ever felt like that? You've had enough and wonder where God was in that situation. Verses 5 to 6. While he was asleep, an angel woke him up and said, "Arise and eat." So often at our point of great need, God breaks into the situation and meets our physical and spiritual need. In fact, for Elijah, this was repeated until finally he was rested. Then God speaks to Elijah, verses 9 to 10. "What are you doing here?" God continues speaking to the prophet and says, "Get on your way." Verses 17 to 18. God says, "I will have the victory. And by the way, you are not the only one true to my word. 7,000 have not bowed the knee to Baal." I once heard of a businessman describe his years in college as a time when he often felt helpless and hopeless from bouts of depression. Sadly, he never talked to a doctor about these feelings, but instead started making more drastic plans, ordering a book on suicide from his local library and setting a date to end his life. The library notified the student when his book on suicide was ready to collect, but in a mix-up, the note went to his parents' house. When his mother called him, distraught, he realised the devastation his suicide would bring. Without that address mix-up, he says, he wouldn't be here today. I don't believe that student was saved by luck or chance, whether it's bread and water when we need it, or a timely wrong address when mysterious intervention saves our lives. We have encountered divine tenderness. God cares for the helpless and the hopeless. We see in his treatment of biblical characters during their own dark times. When Jonah wanted to die, God engaged him in a tender conversation, Jonah chapter 4, verses 3 to 10. When Elijah asked God to take his life, 1 Kings 19, 4, God provided bread and water to refresh him, verses 5 to 9, spoke gently to him, verse 11. To 13, and helped him see he wasn't alone as he thought, verse 18. God approaches the downhearted with tender, practical help. Sometimes it is needful for God to break into our situation to show us his loving care. I want, though, to encourage us to find ways to deal with heartache when it comes our way. 1. Having a close walk with God. So how do we do that? By living a righteous life in tune with God's word. Having a personal lifestyle of reading God's word daily and applying it to our lives. I've recently read a book called The Fear of God by John Bevere. It calls about living in the blessing of God and holding God in awe and having a living relationship with him. John chapter 17 verse 3, Jesus' own words. "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." When we truly know someone, we can trust them and share with them our deepest needs and fears. So we need to have a grasp of God's word, for he is the one that lifts us up in our time of need. Here are some encouraging verses. Psalm 40 verse 2. "He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand." Matthew 28 verse 20. "And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." A true friend is one who stands by us in our time of need. Jesus is our true friend. Jesus is our model for friendship because he loved without limits and makes it possible for us to live a life of friendship because we have been transformed by everything he shared with us. Through friendship we come to know God, and through friendship we enact the love of God. Jesus speaking, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you." I do not call you servants any longer, because a servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from the Father. John 15, verses 12 to 15. 2. A living prayer life. We need a prayer life that is literally alive and personal with our Lord and Saviour. I once came across this quote: 7 prayerless days makes 1 week. Prayer is not a theory, but something that is worked out in reality. It is not words that go nowhere. It is being in communication with the living God, talking to him, listening to him, just as you would to a friend. There are, of course, many types of prayer. If you read the Gospel of John, you will see different types of prayer Jesus prayed and encouraged us to do the same. Let's look at one of Jesus' prayers from John chapter 17. After Jesus had said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, "Father, the time has come to glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you." Jesus had a personal relationship with his Father. See John 17. Going on into verse 2. "For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." He talks about personal relationship. "I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world. I have revealed to you those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word." He talks here of obedience. "Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you, for I gave you them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those who have given me, for they are yours." Prayer is about relationship. "All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and the glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that the scriptures would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so they may have full measure of my joy within them." Jesus knew he was going back to the Father. "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by truth. Your word is truth." Prayer is about action. "As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message." Prayer has a futuristic content. Verse 21, "that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given to me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know you, that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself will be in them." We have not looked at each verse in detail, but we can see it as a personal Jesus is praying to someone he knows, namely as his father. When we have a meaningful prayer life, in those dark moments of struggle, we have a real personal friend in Jesus who can lift us up and encourage us. In the full knowledge, he cares about us and reaches out to us, setting us on the pathway to eternal life. This is the confidence to face life, whatever it throws at us, for nothing can separate us from his love. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 to 39. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Some words from a song to reflect on. God sent his Son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He bled and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Saviour lives. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And then one day I'll cross the river, and I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory, and I'll know he reigns. Because he lives, I can face the tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. He lives. Hallelujah. He lives.